Kim Weaver's director of external affairs at the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board in the monthly board meeting just yesterday. My colleague Emily Kopp covering it and writing about it on federalnewsradio.com under the title House GOP Budget Targets TSP's G Fund. What do they want to do to the G Fund, Kim? Thanks for coming on.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me. In the committee report that accompanies the House budget resolution, there is a suggestion that the G fund rate be changed from the current statutory requirement of an average of the securities that average yield of 4 years or more to maturity, and they want to change that to 3 months or more, which would drop the annualized G fund rate from about 1.88% to about 0.01%. So the G fund would become virtually worthless should this actually go into law.
Emily writes about the reasoning behind this and some of the information included in the budget report that explains why this is acceptable to them. Do you have a sense of what the chain of events might be? I'm sure the first thought is you hope it doesn't happen at all. But do we know yet about what could happen and where this could go?
Well, our first line of defense, obviously, is to try and not let it happen. We already have, and we'll continue to contact Congress and share our dismay about this, and to make them understand that this isn't appropriate. But should it become law, what we would do as the board is to review our L funds, which of course have money allocated to the G fund, and we would very likely totally eliminate or shrink dramatically the amount in the G fund to get the right risk and return for people who are in the L funds. We would communicate with our employees or our participants to make them understand what has just happened so that they know that this very safe return is now, it's still safe, but it's almost non-existent. And we would very likely have to review whether we would go to Congress and ask for legislation for a different kind of fund to replace what the G fund had been in terms of a stable value or a inflation protection fund that many other 401ks have.
It's interesting that there are implications for this beyond what seems to be the actual event itself, if it even happens.
Right. It is. I think you always have to think through, how would people respond? And what I'm curious about is there's a savings figure of $32 billion over 10 years in the committee report. And my question is, how could that be? It's such a speculative item, obviously. But then you also have to think, well, how would people respond to that? Because as I just said, we would certainly do our darndest to make sure people understood the changes, and that would, just by people getting out of the G fund, would eliminate any savings right there. So really unclear to me how the savings figure could be ascribed to this. But of course, this is just the very early stages of this. I don't want people, if they're listening to us in their cars driving off the road, the budget resolution is going to be voted on the House and Senate floors this week. And then sometime in April, they have to conference and come to one standard budget agreement that they would use as their blueprint moving forward. And then if there is savings targets for the House Government Reform or the Senate Governmental Affairs Committee, then they would have to have hearings and put together legislation to get to those savings targets. So there's a big leap between where we are now, a committee report suggestion, and actual law changes. And as I said, we're going to do our darndest, and I'm sure many other people are too, to try and make this not happen. So I don't want anyone out there thinking, oh my God, I've got to get online and change my account allocation today. Please don't take that message away from this.
Yeah, and I wanted to reinforce that this is not anywhere close to any kind of law or legislation. It is in the very, very preliminary stages of proposition and not anywhere close to actually happening. Kim Weaver's right. Director of External Affairs, the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board, coming off yesterday's monthly meeting. What else did we cover about the TSP at that meeting yesterday?
Well, and on the upside, we have the TSP and the growth in the market has lifted us to $450 billion. And the FERS participation rate is now up to 88.1%, which is excellent, the highest ever. And on even better news, the number of our hardship withdrawals has dropped by 30% from January, and it's a trend. It's been moving that way since last November. And hardship withdrawals are not necessarily the best choice for our participants, because when you take a hardship withdrawal, you're permanently removing that money from your account. Mm-hmm. You can't repay it, and you can't contribute to the TSP for the next 6 months. That's tax rules, not our rules. And so it really diminishes somebody's savings for retirement. And to the extent that people have other cash management or strategies, it's certainly far better for them long term.
Do you have any do any kind of research to indicate why people choose to do that, Kim?
A lot of times it's something has happened. You know, 2 years ago, we saw a spike during the furloughs when people were laid off, and there were cash management strategies. You know, you needed to make a car payment, you needed to make a mortgage payment, and you didn't have sufficient emergency savings, and they used the TSP for that.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, is that the best choice for your retirement? No. Is it better than being thrown out of your house? Yes. Excuse me. So that is what people are typically using it for, is a big bill that they have to pay.